He is a soulmate of mine, and he's going to give Jesus glory tonight, and I want you to give him a good hand, okay?
Thank you. Hallelujah. Man, I feel like I'm getting, does anybody got a rubber hose? I feel like I'm getting interrogated here with them bright lights. I may have to step down here. Well, for me, it's 31 years. If you want to get exact, it's 381 months and 11 days. Not that anyone's counting, right? Or if you really want to get exact, it's over 11,400 days. So I never think about that till tonight driving here. And I thought, I know that, you know, sometimes, thanks whoever did that, praise the Lord. Sometimes we, you know, don't think about it, but when we're in a Celebrate Recovery meeting, or sometimes I get to speak at AA, and a lot of times when I speak at AA, they want to run me out of there. Because when I start talking about Jesus Christ, I had a guy one time say, hold it. He stopped me. He said, see that building over there? And I looked, and it was a church. He said, that's where you talk about Jesus Christ. This is AA. And I said, well, you hold it. Because if you ask me to come and speak, I'm going to talk about Jesus, because he's the one that's changed my life. So, April 15th, 1983, I'm kind of like Brother Rick, and I was... And you can read my book. Some of you have already got my book, and Rick said I'd give a book to everybody tonight. And literally, I'd like to ask you, if you've already got one, not to take a second book, but I'll give you a book tonight and sign it for if you'd like. But I'd like to wait till everything's over, because I want you to really hear what I'm saying. I want you to hear what the small groups are saying. So after it's over, come to me, and I'll sign a book for you. I'm just thankful to be able to do that. Our goal is to put 50,000 books in prisons and jails in the next 2 years. And we've given away about 9,000 since October. So we're excited to do that, and God's doing a lot of miracles. But on April 15th, 1983, I've been locked up in 10 states, ridden over 2,500 miles in handcuffs and leg irons. I was in bondage, just like everybody in here, to drugs and alcohol. And I said, God, if you're real and can change Bill Corum, I'll live my life for you. I've never looked back. I've never had a day that I said, boy, I wish I could do another line of cocaine, or I wish I could do some more heroin or some more meth or drink some more whiskey or be with a different woman. I'm thankful tonight I have my wife with me tonight. And I used to walk out the door and say, honey, I'll see you tonight, and kiss her goodbye. And I wouldn't go home for 3 or 4 weeks. And every day I was gone, I was unfaithful to her. And I haven't been with another woman in over 31 years. I haven't kissed another woman in over 31 years. And I'm glad that my wife can be here tonight, and she could get up and give her testimony, and you could hear the miracles that God's done in our marriage in the last 31 years. I wish I had a big whiteboard, because I like to draw a triangle for you. Picture it in your mind, a big triangle with God up at the top, and me over here, and Debbie over here. And we're not trying to get closer to each other, but we're trying to get closer to our daddy. And every year that goes by, what's happening? We're getting closer to each other. And my expectations are not in her, and her expectations are not in me, because I would certainly fail my wife, and she would certainly fail me if I put my expectations in her. But our expectations are in our Heavenly Father, and He never fails us. He never, ever fails us. I'm going to tell you, we don't have a lot of time, because I want to get to the small groups, and we got some things to do tonight. So I'm going to ask you just to read the book, and you can hear my testimony in the book, because it's all in there. And you know, for over 25 years, in 1989, I was on the 700 Club. And then again in 2001, I believe, I was on the 700 Club. And both times they asked me if they could write this book, and I said no. And I've had a few other people want to write my story, and I said no. And the main reason I didn't want to do that is because I've got 4 children that I didn't want to hurt. My kids knew I'd been in prison. My kids knew I was a drug dealer. But my kids didn't know very much about me at all, because I lived a very secret life. And so I didn't want to put that out on Front Street. I didn't want that out there where people would know my life. But in January last year, the Lord sovereignly made me write this book. I didn't want to write it. But I can tell you what, it doesn't do much good to fight with God, because guess who wins? And I fought with him over it, and he won. And so I wrote this book, and I can't believe the lives that have been changed. I get emails, I get letters, I get all the time. I'm getting hearing from somebody about how this book's changed their life. I gave it to a friend of mine, and he told me that he gave it to his mother, and he called me up and said, "My mom has read your book, Bill, and it's challenged her to fast." And I said, "What?" And he said, "Yeah, you know the chapter you got in there about the power of fasting. It challenged my mother to fast." But I want to warn you before you read the book, it's not easy to read. It's got a lot of bad stuff in it. But the first half of the book is the first 40 years of my life, and the last half is the last 30 years of my life. So read it from start to finish. Don't stop in the middle. Read it all the way through, because it gets better as it goes on. I want to tell you a quick story. I was on a prison yard. I've been doing prison ministry 27 years. I speak about 80 or 90 times a year in prisons and jails all over the country. And I was on a prison yard a few years ago, had a band playing. Where's the band at? Where is that band? They leave? Okay. Well, that band was great. I'd love to take you guys to a prison with me. I did prisons all over for years. I had the same band for 12 years that traveled with me. And we were doing a prison. We had about 500 inmates on the yard. And I was getting ready to go up to speak. And I was standing at the bottom of the stairs. And a young man walked up to me. And he said, "My name's so-and-so." I introduced myself. He said, "My name's so-and-so. I'm 32 years old, Bill. And I've been in prison 20 years. Since I was 12 years old, I've either been in juvenile, on probation, on parole, in prison, locked up. I've been in the system for 20 years of my 32 years. And he said, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I'd like to be a Christian, but I'm afraid it'll be too boring." And I said, "You're right, it is boring." He said, "It is?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, man, being a Christian's real boring. If you're talking about laying your Bible down and just picking it up Sunday and going to church and open it where the preacher tells you to, and then when you go back, you lay it down and you don't pick it up till the next Sunday, it's real boring. But," I said, "if you live for Jesus 24/7, there's nothing boring about being a Christian." I said, "Young man, I got to go up here and speak in a minute, but let me tell you a real quick story. Bill Corm's not a man that can live a boring life." I said, "Before I was a Christian, my partner had a Turbo Carrera Porsche that would go 185 miles an hour. And we would get in his Porsche and go through downtown Kansas City on I-70, 150 miles an hour. And I said, "If you think going three times the speed limit with an Uzi laying in the back seat's boring, you should come and ride with me." I used to walk into a shooting gallery. How many of you know what a shooting gallery is? I'm not talking about a place that you target practice. I'm talking about a place you go to slam dope. And I would walk into a shooting gallery, and I'd lay my 9mm here and my .357 here, and I would open up a box with 6 or 8 ounces of uncut cocaine in it, maybe $10,000 or $20,000 underneath the cocaine. And I was hoping that somebody would try to take my money or my drugs from me. I said, "If you think that's boring, you ought to go to a shooting gallery with me." I'd get on a motorcycle in Shawnee, Kansas, and ride out to Raytown in about 10 or 12 minutes across the crosstown freeway, 140, laying down on the bike at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning with my 9mm here and my .357 here, cocaine in my boots and $10,000 in my boots. I said, "If you think that's boring, come ride a motorcycle with me." I said, "Now let me tell you, because I can't live a boring life, let me tell you what I do now as a Christian, young man. Have you ever heard of San Quentin?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "That's a penitentiary out in California, right on the bay at San Francisco. They call it the Bastille on the Bay. There's 6,000 inmates in San Quentin. 75% of those inmates never get a visit and never get a letter. Now, when you've been in prison 10, 15, 20 years and you never get a letter and you never get a visit, you get pretty angry. And so 75% of those 6,000 men never get a visit and never get a letter. And I get to walk around that prison for 2 or 3 days, 10 hours a day, with the meanest men in America, 4,000 of the meanest men in America. I said, if you think that's boring, come go to San Quentin with me. I get to go to death row and sit on the floor and hold a man's hands through the bars that's been in a 5x9 or a 6x9 cell. Some of them are different depending on the state you're in. One state I was in, I held a man's hands through the bars that had been in a 6x9 cell for 17 years. I said, if you think that's boring, come and go with me to death row. I can't live a boring life. Come go to Chicago with me. I was up in Chicago at the Cook County Jail. Some of you guys have done jail ministry. I don't know if any of you ever been in Jackson County Jail to do ministry, or maybe you've been locked up there. Anybody ever been in Jackson County Jail? Yeah, see a few hands. There's 800 men in Jackson County. Well, let me tell you what's up in Cook County at 26th in California. There's 11,000 men in that jail. And so I go up there for 2 weeks at a time, go cell to cell, talking to inmates all day. Just going cell to cell. How you doing today, buddy? Can we talk for a minute? How you doing today, man? I just come by to say hi to you. My wife just did a lockdown with me a few weeks ago out in Colorado. We went door to door, talking through the crack, because there's just a little bitty window. You got to talk through the crack in the door. How you doing today, man? We just come by to say hi to you, encourage you a little bit. So I'm going cell to cell, and one day I told a guard in the jail, I said, man, I can't live a boring life, man. What is there to do in Chicago at night? He said, well, Bill, there's a lot to do in Chicago. Do you want to drink, dance, chase women, gamble? I said, no, I don't do any of that anymore. I want to go tell people how Jesus changed my life. He said, well, I can tell you one place you cannot go in Chicago. Anybody here that's ever been in Chicago or lived in Chicago? Probably remember there's a place in Chicago that had the most dangerous projects in the whole United States. It was called Caprini Green. They've been torn down since then. But back then, he said, that's one place, Bill, you cannot go. And he said, if you just want to happen to drive by and look at see what the projects look like, make sure you go in the daylight. I said, yes, sir. So we went that night at midnight because I can't live a boring life. And we walked down alleys and talked to crack addicts. And I was standing on the corner telling a prostitute how Jesus Christ had changed my life. And her pimp rolled up in a Cadillac and said, what are you doing, boy? I said, get out of that Cadillac and I'll tell you. And I told him about how Jesus had changed my life because I can't live a boring life. I said, young man, I'm sorry. I got to go speak. And I left him at the foot of the steps. And I got up there to preach that day, and I didn't preach. I told the story I just told you, but I didn't tell the inmates it was about him. And when I gave the altar call, he was the first one to come up because he didn't want his life to be boring. And I'm telling you one more quick story, and I'm going to end. A friend of mine, some of you that's been in prison may have read his book, Murph the Surf, Jack Murphy. He had double life plus 20 without parole. His parole date's 2244. 2244 was his parole date. God did a miracle and he got out of prison. I do ministry with him now, travel all over the country and go to prisons with Jack. And Murph was on death row for a while down in Florida. And he said on death row they had these little black and white televisions, little bitty things, you know, about 10-inch screen. And he said when he got out of prison, got married, his wife's got one of them lousy little black and white TVs in the kitchen. And he said, I tell her, get that death row TV out of my house. And he said, now in my rec room, in my great room, I've got a big 60-inch color, latest state-of-the-art, best graphics, high definition, surround sound. And he said, you know, if there's a football game on, you can go watch it on the death row TV, or you can go watch it on my big screen with surround sound. He said, really, it's the same game, but it's a different experience watching it on the color. He said, when the World Series is going on, you can watch it on the death row TV, or you can go watch it on the big screen. It's the same World Series, same baseball game, but it's a different experience watching it on the big screen and the color and the latest graphics and all that. He says, you know, if there's a big event like, you know, they have got National Geographic, for instance. Man, they got all this beautiful photography, and if it's an Africa program, they got the lions roaring. And he said, you know, you can watch that on the death row TV, or you can go watch it on the big screen with the surround sound and hear those lions. He said it's the same show, but it's a different experience watching it on the big screen. He said, now you can get out of prison, or I'll tell you tonight, you can walk out of this building and you can go out and live your life without Jesus Christ. And you may become successful, make a lot of money and have a lot of stuff, houses, boats, planes, whatever. And you can do that without God in your life, without Jesus Christ being the center of your life. But I can promise you one thing. Without Jesus Christ being the center of your life, and without him being the Lord of your life, your whole life will be a black and white experience. It will never be that great color experience without Jesus. He's the only one that can do it. I want to read you a quote. How many of you ever heard of John Eldridge? Anybody in here? He's got some books that are awesome, especially for you men. He's got a book called Wild at Heart. It's a great book. He's got a deal called Sacred Romance. That's a great recovery type thing. He's got a book that he just wrote recently called Beautiful Outlaw about Jesus. But I want to read you a quote from John Eldridge. He says, we need Jesus like we need oxygen, like we need water, like the branch needs the vine. Jesus is not merely a figure for devotions. He is the missing essence of your existence. To have Jesus, really have him, is to have the greatest treasure in all the world. To have his life, joy, love, and presence cannot be compared. A true knowledge of Jesus is our greatest need and our greatest happiness. You know, I ask men in prisons all the time, how many of you know Michael Jordan? And every hand goes up. And then I go, when's the last time you talked to him, buddy? Oh, well, I never really talked to him. I just know who he is. And that's a lot. That's the way a lot of people know about Jesus. They've heard about him. They've heard the stories. But they don't really have a relationship. You know, I like to use this example. Religion is a man sitting in church thinking about fishing. He's sitting in church listening to Brother Rick preach, but in his mind, he's thinking about sitting in a boat fishing. That's religion. Relationship is a guy sitting out in the middle of the lake in a boat fishing, thinking about God. That's the difference. And I want to tell you tonight, our intimacy, and that's what it takes. One of the songs we sang was talking about going deeper, getting to know him better. Our intimacy with God and with Jesus Christ is not determined by God or by Jesus Christ. It's determined by us. The Bible says he longs and he waits for those that will come to him. He's longing and waiting for you to come. It's not determined by God. It's determined by us. We can be as close to him as we want to be. And I'm telling you, the closer you get, the better it gets. I have men in prison I see, and then 4 years later, I go back to that prison. I say, hey, man, how you doing? Oh, man, Bill, I tried God, and he didn't work. I said, he didn't work the way you tried him. If you try him his way, he'll never fail you. He'll never work your way. Your way is to hang on to this little habit and this little hang up and this little hurt and to hang on to him, not to let him go. You're mad at somebody because they did something wrong, and you get saved and give your heart to Jesus, but you don't let go of that. He'll never work that way. He only works if you give him everything. Total surrender. Hopefully he didn't see me tonight because I was on the back row, but I had both hands up part of the time. Listen, I was an outlaw for 40 years. I don't have no tattoos for one reason, because I thought I was going to be on the FBI's 10 most wanted. Seriously. I didn't want no marks on me to be able to identify me. That's the reason I'm thinking about getting a tattoo. I'm 71 years old, going on 71. I'm thinking about getting one. It's going to say, if you're reading this, you're probably the Undertaker. Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? And then on my back, I'm going to have them put, I know you turned me over so you wouldn't have to read that. You have one more chance to give your heart to Jesus. I may do that, seriously. If I come back in a couple years, ask me to take my shirt off. But I'm telling you, God loves you. He's got a plan for you. There's nothing in this world that will ever satisfy you like Jesus. That's why nothing works. I bought 11 new cars in 13 years. I used to look like a white Mr. T. I had gold hanging around my neck. If I was carrying 20 grand, man, I felt so important. But if I had 30 grand, I really felt important. My identity was in stuff and money and cars and women. And you know what? Now I wear jeans I buy at Walmart. I don't wear nothing else. We shop at Walmart. I don't care about fancy stuff because that don't make me happy. Jesus Christ makes me happy. My relationship with him makes me happy. And I want that for every one of you. Driving here today, I thought, God, if there was some way I could just flip a switch and people would just understand how much he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. More than you can ever imagine, he loves you. And he wants you so bad to be a part of his family. I'll say this to you. You didn't come here tonight because you just decided, I think I'll go there. The Spirit of God drew you. And Jesus Christ said these words in John 6:44, no one can come to me except the Spirit of my Father draws them. Now you see, you can't just be walking down the street and decide, I think I'll become a Christian today. That doesn't work that way. God's Spirit has to draw you. He drew you here tonight. He wants you in his family. He wants you to be part of his family. He wants you to experience that big color TV that surrounds the best graphics. He wants you to experience that tonight. Because what you've been experiencing, if you don't have him in your heart and he's not Lord of your life, if you've tried Jesus your way, you're experiencing that black and white experience. When you give him everything and you surrender, I didn't ever want to put my hands up. When I first started going to church and people were raising their hands, man, I'm like this. I am not about to raise my hands. But once I figured it out, if you know the answer when you're a little kid in school, what'd you do? Like this, right? Well, now I really know the answer, so I raise both hands. So I'm going to do this. I'm doing good, brother. It's 1:01. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to do this. I'm going to say, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here tonight, now listen to me. If you're here tonight and you've tried God your way, it just hasn't worked like you've seen it working in other people's lives. You've tried him your way, but you've never really tried him his way. Complete, total surrender. I want you to just slip your hand up. Just slip up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. I appreciate it. I thank you very much. Thank you for your honesty. God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, Father, thank you, God. We'll just take another minute. Lord, there's probably more people here that go to church. Lord, I go to McDonald's every week, and I'm still not a hamburger. I've slept in the garage, and I've never become a car. And going to church, God, we know it does not make us a relationship with you. We know it doesn't make us have that intimacy with you. That only comes through one thing, Lord, and that's complete, total surrender and saying, God, take my life. And he didn't want you to clean up and say, well, when I quit smoking, I quit drinking, I quit doing this, I quit shooting dope, then I'll become a Christian. He wants you just the way you are. He loves you just the way you are. There's nothing that he's not seen or understand. He knows everything about you. And he loves you just exactly the way you are. So if there's somebody else here that says, I want God his way, not my way, just slip up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, if you raise your hand, I'd like for you to... The Bible says if we confess him before men, he'll confess us before his Father in heaven. But if we deny him before men, he'll deny us. I would say to you this, when you're out there stealing, cooking meth, shooting dope, robbing people, robbing banks, beating people, I'm just naming stuff I did. You were stealing and robbing and doing all kinds of stuff. There was people that knew it and they didn't like what you were doing, but did you care? You didn't care. You just kept on doing it. So if you decide tonight that, you know what, I'm going to make a change in my life, and I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what anybody thinks about the way I'm going to live my life from now on. I would just ask you tonight, if you raise your hand, come up here, and I want to pray with you. I just want to pray with you. Come on forward if you raise your hand, please. Just be brave. Get up. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, there were some more. Raise their hand. Thank you. These guys don't care what people think. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to come up? I know there were some more. Raise your hand. God knows your heart. It's nothing to be ashamed of. He loves you. Show him you love him. Just come on up. My wife's come up to pray. Rick, would you and your wife come over and pray, please? Marty, please come up. Anybody wants to come up and just say tonight that I want God tonight, and I want him his way and not my way. I've tried him, and I've never been able to make it work because I've always tried him my way. But tonight's different. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you so much for your love. Lord, I thank you for these men and women that have said, I want God his way. Lord, I want you your way and not my way. I'm going to make a difference tonight. I'm driving a stake in the ground tonight, and I want to try you your way. So, Lord, I'm going to pray a prayer right now, and you just pray with me. You that have come forward, just pray with me. Whether it's your first time to pray it or your 20th time or 100th time, just pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I know that I've failed in the past. I know that the Bible says I'm a sinner. And I ask you tonight to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to come into my heart right now and let me start over. I thank you, God, that you give second chances. You give 100 times second chances. And I give you my heart right now. I give you my life. And Lord, I ask you to give me the strength to read my Bible every day, to pray every day, to find other believers to fellowship with. And God, from this day on, I make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, let me just say this before you leave. Will you remember, every one of you here has had a time in your life, either your own child or a little niece or nephew or some little child in your life that started to walk and pulled itself up on the coffee table and then stumbled and fell. Everybody had that happen? And did you go over and put your foot in its back and say, don't you try to get up again? You just stay right on the ground because you can't get up. You ain't going to walk. You didn't do that, did you? You ran over and said, come on, you can make it. Come on, son. Come on, baby. Come on, little niece or nephew. Come on, get up. You can make it. And that's what he does to us. The devil wants you to believe that you walk out that door and you stumble, that you're done. You're done. Look what you just did. Now, you just said you were going to walk with. Look what you're doing now. Let me tell you this. Run to God, not away from God. Because the Bible says he loved us while we were yet sinners. He loved us before we even gave our heart to him. He loved us. So what? How much more does he love you now that you've said yes to Jesus and you make a mistake and stumble? Because guess what? When you quit making mistakes, I won't see you anymore because you'll already be in heaven. Because you're going to make mistakes as long as you're here. I guarantee that. So as long as you're walking with Jesus, you're going to make some mistakes. I've been walking with him 31 years. Now, I can tell you I'm perfect, but if I give you my wife's phone number, she's going to tell you I lied. Because I make a lot of mistakes, but he loves me. You know, a few years ago, I was a national speaker for the FCA, And they had a big bio on me, you know, ex-underworld enforcer, biggest cocaine dealer in Kansas City, da-da-da-da-da. And I called the president of the FCA, and I said, I'd like to change my bio. He said, you would? What do you want, Bill? We'll do anything you want. I said, here's what I wanted to say. Bill Corum, a man that God really loves. He said, well, probably nobody would ask you to come speak. I said, I don't care. Because he really loves me, I'm telling you. And I'm learning more after 31 years how much he loves me. And I tell you, the Bible says the angels are rejoicing when one person comes to him. So they're having a party in heaven right now. Thank you, guys. Bless you. Don't forget to get a book. Don't forget to get the book.
God bless you, brother. Got anything to say?